So, is that you in the picture, by the way?
Yeah, yeah. A little bit so, younger.
So somebody filled your office with balloons, huh?
Yeah, it was right after I got married.
So who are you? I take it from the name plaque, you're Adam.
Yes, I'm Adam Nathan. I'm a developer on the Windows SDK team. And today I want to show you that via a demonstration that you don't have to rewrite all your code to take advantage of manage code, and you don't have to rewrite all your code to take advantage of WinFX. You can incrementally take advantage of these technologies without throwing away a large investment in Win32. And it's easier than you might think it is.
Now you have one of my favorite blogs, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. So yeah, I've been blogging about this application, and I've been blogging about interoperability between managed and unmanaged code for a while.
Yeah. Now, who are you, by the way?
I'm Ernie Booth. I'm a Windows Vista technical evangelist.
Okay.
Here to talk to Adam today and a bunch of different people in the near future. Cool. What program are you choosing to?
So. I've got it
from Win32.
Yep. Internet Hearts, which is a game that shipped with Windows XP. I don't know if either of you have played this. So I've got it up here, and actually I'll get it started to show you and the audience what it looks like. And actually, let me close some instances so I can play against the computer. So first I'll ask you, does this UI really excite you or entice you to play the game of Hearts?
Not really.
Right. I mean, you know, it's decent enough, but I think that if people bought Windows solely for the card games, we'd be in a bit of trouble.
Oh, my dad did.
Wow. Well, how many years ago was this?
A while ago.
Okay. So, you know, in the 21st century...
I'm joking. You bought a $4,000 Dell, and every time I'd come over, you'd be playing Solitaire, you know? It's like, Dad, this thing does, you know, Flight Simulator and Doom and stuff, you know?
Right.
You're playing Solitaire.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it works just fine for some people, but it does look a little old-fashioned. The graphics are old-fashioned. Also, it's not really designed for today's high-resolution displays.
Yeah.
It's kind of small, and actually, watch what happens if I maximize the game to make it bigger. I just get a monstrous chat window because apparently the developers at the time didn't feel like dealing with resizing the game surface.
Yep.
So not a great experience. Now, some background on this application. It's about 10 years old. It was last touched in about 1999. And it's written in unmanaged C++, and the client and server combined is about 112,000 lines of code, which may be more than you'd expect for a simple card game, but it's actually kind of a general purpose game client and server. And what I've done, I've actually done a few things with this application. I've replaced the sockets communication with Windows Communication Foundation, or Indigo. I've integrated some new Windows Vista features. I've done a click once deployment, but today what I want to show you is actually just what I've done with the UI and integrating the Windows Presentation Foundation, or Avalon, formerly known as Avalon.
I'm still learning all this stuff.
So I'll probably just call it WPF, or maybe I'll slip into calling it Avalon.
I think I have $10 in my jar already for messing up.
So I'll show you just what I did with the UI and integrating it into the app. So if I can go over to the whiteboard, the idea is...
Let me get over here so I can actually see you.
Yep. I wanted to do kind of the biggest bang for the buck and spend the least amount of effort to really make a difference in the application. So the decision was, let's say the splash screen's good enough. The shell is good enough, although I do want to tweak it to support resizing properly. I'll keep the chat window the same, the menus. I'll just focus on this main game surface. And what I want to do is replace that with WPF. So I need...
What's WPF?
A Windows Presentation Foundation.
Okay. Formerly known as
Avalon.
Okay.
So what I need is... currently, this is one big HWind with controls inside of it. I want to take arbitrary WPF content and expose it as an HWin so I can plug it into the rest of the application. Fortunately, WPF lets us do that. They support interoperability with HWins, which makes sense because whether you're dealing with a plain Win32 app, DirectX, MFC, they all talk HWins. So what I could do is use a class known as HWindSource, to expose arbitrary WPF content as an HWND. I also actually used their other direction of interop, which is exposing some Win32 UI in HWND as a WPF element using another class known as HWNDHost. So there's bidirectional interoperability. The way I use this here is, even though I was replacing the main game surface, I wanted to still reuse a little scoreboard that they showed in between hands, because I figured, again, it's good enough. Why bother rewriting it? So that's basically how I integrated it into the Win32 architecture. Let's look at what it means for the source code. So I've got over here a rough diagram of what the client looks like. I've got actually a more detailed diagram on my blog, which I conveniently mentioned up here. So there's, for the game surface, there are really just three relevant DLLs in this case, and the communication with them was via COM. So this is a COM object, and it represents the game surface. This heart surface DLL is actually the guts of the UI and the logic for the game of hearts. Here's where you could plug in other games if you wanted to do backgammon or reverse-y like XP also has. And then there's also a third DLL that's just a bunch of utilities. So a natural place to kind of divide the line is right here, where to the left I really don't need to touch anything. I can leave it as the unmanaged C++. And to the right, I need to do something about this to take advantage of WPF. Now, one thing that I wanted to do is use XAML, because I like the fact that a designer can independently style it, style my application. So one current issue is there's no support for embedding compiled XAML inside a C++ assembly. So there are some ways to deal with that. I could just ditch XAML and do all the UI and code. I didn't really want to do that. I could load and parse the XAML at runtime, but that's not the best development experience, and there's a performance hit at runtime. So what I decided I would do is write some amount of C# code, compile XAML inside of that, and then integrate that into the code base. I could have also chosen Visual Basic. Visual Studio 2005 supports compiled XAML with both languages once you install the WinFX SDK.
Okay.
So one approach looking at this interaction is, well, I could just replace this entire chunk with my new C# code, compiled XAML, and actually expose it as the COM object that the rest of the code is already expecting. It seems like a natural approach, and you might expect that I would choose that given that I used to work on COM interop, but the reality is, in this case, there's so much code to reuse in here. I didn't want to have to rewrite all the logic and even some of the miscellaneous guts in there, that the natural approach was actually to save this code and do something different. So I created just a new C# and XAML DLL. I had this heart surface use the new UI, so I could rip out some of the old UI in here and basically just move this line a little further. So now I'm not even touching these DLLs. Everything to here I can leave alone, other than tweaking the shell to support resizing. All the focus is really just on this one C++ DLL and then its communication with the new C# and XAML. So at this point, the question is, well, what's the best way for the unmanaged C++ code to communicate with this new managed C# code? Now, given that this application hasn't been touched in about 6 years, it shouldn't surprise you that it was actually still using VC6. And one option, especially if I wanted to keep it compiling with VC6, is to use COM interop to do the communication between unmanaged C++ and C#. But again, it's kind of a heavyweight approach. It would require me to manually wrap what I want to expose in the C# code in a COM-friendly way. For example, you can't directly expose the WPF button via COM and have the unmanaged code set properties. So there'd be a lot of work to do there. So really, in this case, what would be most natural is to use C++ interop, and that way I can have first-class access to whatever I want to expose from C# and XAML.
Right.
So you wanted to do it at the component level then, instead of breaking it down into smaller smaller little bits for performance, or?
Well, I mean, really because I wanted to, other than the little scoreboard, I was replacing that entire chunk of the game surface. If I really wanted to, I could have just replaced, say, the buttons on the screen with WPF buttons. And, you know, I could get some benefit there, but as long as I was going for this, I wanted to really, you know, do something a lot more meaningful. The options are definitely there if you only want to go a little bit of the way, though.
So it seems like you've got a pretty good existing code base there, mm-hmm. as far as size-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you know the code base coming in?
I did not. So actually, in doing this, really, the bulk of the effort was just understanding the code and seeing where to best plug things in. As far as the interoperability features of WPF, I mean, there are two classes to use. It's pretty straightforward. So it really just comes down to the code base that you're working with, I think.
So how long have you been working on this project? What's been the timeline of everything?
Right. So with the specifically the WPF integration, really it was about a week that it took to figure out where to integrate this in and integrate in a basic WPF UI that I'll show you in a little bit. I then went a bit further and wanted to do some more fancy things with WPF, so then I spent a few more weeks on that. But what I found is it really doesn't take that long to do something like this and integrate some of these new features in.
What's the hardest part of making the shift from, you know, the old style of programming to the XAML style of programming?
Well, I mean, as long as you do it at a kind of clean integration point, it's really just kind of shifting from a new model to an old to a new. There are some differences in terms of, well, the old code, it was all about a kind of a painting mentality, and okay, at the right time, I'm going to paint this text on the screen, as opposed to setting properties on controls and then kind of forgetting about it. I mean, to me, I love the programming model that Avalon and XAML provides. I'm kind of glad to move away from the Win32 world, but the nice thing is they can cooperate.
What kind of benefits did you find in the new model, in the WPF?
So one definite thing...
You called it Avalon again.
Yeah. I can continue to call it Avalon if it makes you more comfortable.
We all got to get used to the new names.
There's Avalon has a lot of nice layout features, so I can properly support resizing without doing a whole lot of work. I'll show you in a second that with the old code, it was hard-coded coordinates, and I don't blame them that they didn't end up scaling the screen, because it was the way it was set up was just kind of nasty. Resolution independence, which is pretty key. And then you can just do a lot of rich things really easily, whether it's 3D or animations or video or what have you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of richness there.
So the old Win32 is all message pump and, you know.
Yeah.
What's the challenge going back and forth between dealing with this constant message pump and dealing with WPF and .NET and working together?
Right. So I actually didn't have to touch anything specific to the message pump. At the level I was dealing with, the code base already had their own abstractions over buttons and list boxes and the various controls. So it's really a matter of there was some logic. At some point, it would enable a button, it would set some text on a label, and I just needed to redirect that to my new buttons and labels. So in some situations, maybe if you're doing a DirectX application with really demanding rendering needs, you might have to get more into that. But for an application like this, the message pump, you know, I just could kind of close my eyes and leave it alone.
Cool. Show us
the
new internet rights.
All right. Do you want to see any specifics of the code, or just jump right to
the application? Well, how about let's take a look at what the new app looks like, and then jump back into the code and see how you did some of that.
Sure. So I actually can show you two versions. One is that kind of basic, maybe a little bit ugly UI that took about a week to create. But it has all the functionality to communicate between the new code and the old code. So let me start up again four of these guys. So I have three of the old clients, one of the new clients. And so, you know, here's the basic WPF integration. Pretty simple, not too flashy. But I've got some vector-based cards in there. One thing you'll notice right away is I mentioned like the layout features. I can now easily move things around, and a lot of that's kind of automatic with the Avalon layout. As I change the shape of the window, things scale nicely. In fact, I actually have that app also over here on my double monitor. So because the cards are vector graphics, I could make it, you know, really big, as big as I wanted to, or on a really high resolution, and the cards would still look just as good. So in this version, I just have a few simple animations. And actually, let me get a game going over here. So you can see that the original game actually did have one animation with the cards when you won a trick. And I recreated that animation here. You'll see in a second. So a simple animation of the cards kind of zooming together when you win. Now, one interesting difference comparing the old model and the new model is to get a similar looking animation in the old code base, they had over 200 lines of unmanaged C++ kind of scattered around. With this application, that animation is done with about 30 lines of XAML and about 30 lines of C# code to kind of update the coordinates. So I think a much simpler experience to kind of get the same sort of UI.
Now that looks like the old scoreboard.
So there's that old Win32 scoreboard embedded inside Avalon. That's using that HWind host inside the HWind source.
So what here is Avalon? What's Win32?
So basically the red and orange part is Avalon. The shell, including the chat window down here, and the menus up here, which are kind of blocked, but they're the menus. That's all the exact same Win32 code. You know, the dialog boxes, whatever, that's all, you know, untouched. It just works kind of side by side with the WPF content. So, you know, I'm not a graphic designer, but I felt that I could do a little better than that to try to show off the power of WPF. So let me start off my other version. Again, three of the old clients, one of the new one. And let me close the old ones.
Select three cards. Path left.
So, actually one more. All right, so let me maximize this. So I don't know if you could hear that text-to-speech going on. This is the original resource string about select three cards, path left, but I just hooked it up to speech synthesis, which is easy to do with WPF. I've got some little 3D objects here representing the various player pictures. And, you know, 3D and the rotating heart. I've got various subtle animations on the playing cards as you hover over them. Let me actually pass three of these cards. On the right with the buttons, there are kind of some, you know, slick animations that could be done all in XAML, pretty easy, even for me to do. As I pass the cards, you can actually see the cards being passed back and forth.
Yep, I missed them.
Okay. So actually, let me just autoplay this, and you can see the cards actually flip in 3D onto the table. I happen to add sounds, which is just a minor thing. There are all kinds of subtle animations.
What was that?
That was the Queen of Spades, which is bad in the Game of Hearts. All kinds of subtle animations. The background color changes based on the game state. You can see the opponent's hands, and they kind of slide together as the cards are played. And, you know, WPF just makes a lot of this stuff very easy to do. And there's that Win32 scoreboard again. Another feature that I think was pretty cool that, again, was easy to add was speech recognition. So if I can plug in my microphone here, let's try controlling this.
Select three cards. Path right.
Let me wake up speech recognition. Okay. So actually, if you look at the cards, Ace of Hearts, Six of Hearts, Jack of Spades, Go. Oh, actually, yeah. Okay, now let's try the Jack of Clubs. Go. Autoplay. So that just kind of gives you an idea You know, not very much code. Let me turn that down. Not very much code involved to get a feature like that working. Another cool little thing. It's kind of minor, but let me let this play through. I took advantage of some tooltips in WPF, which I realized that they can actually host arbitrary content, which, you know, is just kind of a minor thing, but compared to the tooltips you're used to dealing with in Win32 or WinForms or whatever, it's kind of a nice feature. So actually, if you see here, I have some cards grayed out because they're not in play. And here you can see a slightly more sophisticated tooltip that tells you, hey, this card is invalid. So again, WPF enabled me to easily create something a little more interactive than just a simple message box if you play a bad card. One other thing that I actually want to show you, I didn't integrate it into the game because I'm running on beta 1 and there's some limitations there, but some ideas for some future directions and again showing some of the richness of WPF. Let me paste in some XAML into XAMLPad and show you what a designer could potentially do with the playing cards. Basically integrate video into into these buttons.
Oh, wow. So
these are just normal buttons in WPF. I have them styled as the playing cards just like I had in my application. They've got the animations on mouse enter, mouse leave, but you know, I can easily with a little bit of XAML integrate video content into that and have, you know, a much more engaging experience, maybe a little silly in this case, but it just kind of shows how easy it can be to take advantage of that richness.
Cool. So let's jump into the code and
Okay. Show
us how you did some of this cool stuff.
So I'll show you some of the before and after. So actually on the left-hand screen, I've got the before, and on the right-hand screen, I've got the after. So if you look at the right-hand screen right now, because I used C++ interop, I can directly use some manage code. And here I've got highlighted some assemblies I'm bringing into this file. There's actually only one source file in the C++ code base that I needed to touch to do all of this. So I'm bringing in my own assembly and some of the framework and WinFX assemblies. So next, I've got a class I call WPF Integration that holds my WPF grid. That's the main surface that the new surface I created. And there's that HWin source that the code interacts with.
Are you putting this code out in public?
Yes, actually, at the PDC, I'm going to be talking about this, and I'm going to be sharing all the code before and after. I've set up a website, winfxhearts.com, that'll have this for download. You can also play the game from there. And I'm going to be continuing to blog about this, about the WPF, about Indigo, about ClickOnce, about all those aspects. So yeah, people can get their hands on it and play with it to their heart's content.
Now, this is the new C++ CLI, whatever we're calling the latest version
CLI.
Of C++.
Yep.
So that's actually a managed class there, right? That's
yes.
Running on the CLR. And
yes, the fact that I have the ref class keyword there makes it a managed class. And the managed code can be intermingled alongside the unmanaged code. So actually, if we look at the left screen, here's what the code used to look like where they were initializing their buttons. Now, this UI button init is their own function, but they're hooking it up with some text and some event handlers like this autoplay button func. If we look at my update to the code, this actually probably looks a lot more familiar for someone used to manage code. I'm directly accessing the events on the WPF buttons, hooking up a delegate, and actually using those same event handlers, like here's that autoplay button func, hooking up the same logic to the new buttons. Now, I did have to tweak the signatures of these event handlers because in WPF, they have to match this routed event handler to actually hook it up. But let me show you what that looks like. So here's that event handler when the autoplay button gets clicked. There's a line where they're calling their own function for checking if a button is enabled. Down lower, they're calling, again, their own function to set some text on that button. In the new code, the logic's all the same. But here I've got the new signature for autoplay button func. So of course, if you actually needed to pass something in those parameters, you just have to pass that data a different way. Here's that same line of code where I'm checking if the autoplay button's enabled, but in this case, I'm just directly calling the managed is enabled property on that button. And lower down again, among all this same old kind of logic that was there in the unmanaged code, I'm setting the content of that autoplay button. One other example is on the left, here's some old code where it's drawing the player's name on the screen. So you can see there's a lot of code dealing with the font, the color, even the text justification before it's drawing the name to the screen. In the new version, I didn't have to have any of that. I'm just calling a managed function that I exposed from the C# and XAML DLL called setPlayerName. I'm passing the original string, which is the player name, and because it needs a managed string, I just wrap it in a new system string. And because it's allocated on the GC heap, I don't have to worry about explicitly deleting that memory. Now, one thing I don't think I mentioned is I did get to remove tons of code from the existing application. Actually, about 5,000 lines of code I got to remove just because I didn't need it anymore, and it required so much less code to have the new UI as opposed to the old UI. So up on the left screen, you can see there are those hard-coded rectangles that are all the coordinates of the buttons and elements on the old user interface. There's also a cleanup function where you can see they're deleting images, buttons, brushes, pens. I don't have to do any of that because just like the CLR gives you managed memory, WPF kind of gives you managed graphics where it's managed for you. You don't have to worry about explicitly deleting those objects. So that's just kind of an overview. It's really, I found it to be once you decide where the integration point is, it's really just kind of surgical updates to that logic, assuming you want to preserve that logic, to just redirect the calls into the old UI into the new UI.
Now, in XAML, when you actually access something by name, it's scoped to what, the particular assembly or the class that you have access to. Do you actually reference any elements within XAML by name, and is there anything special you had to do?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there was. So for the most part, actually, I would say just about all of the XAML, which I've got some up on the right-hand screen, looks like XAML you would see anywhere. There's really nothing about it that's specific to the fact that it's hosted in a Win32 application. But you can see toward the bottom that on some of the controls, whether they're labels or buttons, I use this field modifier public. And what that actually does is in my C# DLL, the XAML compiler will generate a public field for that label or button or whatever. That's what enabled me to directly access it from C++. And it looked like just like any other field or property on a class. It's just that by specifying it as public in the XAML, I was able to expose it that way.
Cool. So you also, now we've seen a lot of WPFs here, but you mentioned that you did some WCF work too.
I did.
WCF?
So WCF, formerly known as Indigo Windows Communication Foundation.
Okay.
Right. And I don't really have anything to show you as far as the WCF or Indigo right now, but the bottom line there is the client and server were communicating via sockets, and there was a lot of code, especially on the server end, to deal with all this communication. And what I did was both on the client and the server integrate in WCF by defining some contracts. So I said, here's an iCard game interface, and here are the basic operations, modeling after the communication that they already had in place. I defined a callback interface so the client could get notifications when certain events happened. And then once I integrated that into the client and server, once again, I was able to remove tons of code, actually in this case about 30,000 lines from the server, just because there's a lot of plumbing in there that Indigo takes care of for me. IIS hosting of the Indigo service takes care of a lot of the details that used to be taken care of manually. And I got some nice benefits from that. The application is more robust in terms of transient network connectivity. the existing game, if you lose connectivity, if you know you're on the wireless network, you go out for a few seconds, you'll get booted from the game. That's not a great experience. The game couldn't be played through a firewall as is, but with Indigo you could set up the infrastructure so it actually does pass through a firewall. Incremental updates. It was the same kind of deal with really only touching a single module on the client end or on the server end, and keeping a lot of the same infrastructure in place, but incrementally taking advantage of these new features. Also with Click Once deployment, actually that's pretty cool. I could use that actually even without touching the app at all. With a little bit of work, I could take that unmanaged C++ app and still get a lot of the Click Once benefits of easy deployment, auto updates. It doesn't run in a sandbox as far as like partially trusted code because it is unmanaged, but it's a nice deployment model.
So do you have to write a wrapper or something around that unmanaged C++ to make it work with Click Once?
Only one simple one, which you know is kind of silly, but you need a managed executable. So if your executable is unmanaged, regardless of what the other code is, what I ended up doing with Internet Hearts is just writing a teeny little wrapper managed executable that does process.start, you know, unmanaged executable. So kind of silly, but easy to do, and that's really all the work needed to get the code base integrated into Click Once.
Cool. Well, you have anything else you want to show us today?
No, I don't think today. Maybe if you want to come back another time to see some of these additional features.
Do you have any three or four tips for somebody just starting out in the new, you know, WPF XAML world?
Yeah, well, for one thing, I mean, definitely besides just the basic learning of what WPF and XAML offers, focusing on the functionality provided by those two special classes, HWind Source and HWind Host, some of the more difficult things I had to face were related to keyboard navigation, and you can face some decisions with resources. With keyboard navigation, I definitely wanted to be able to tab between the Win32 controls in the chat window and then the WPF controls in the game surface. WPF provides a lot of keyboard functionality specific to interoperability. What I found to be easy in this instance was just to kind of keep all the keyboard handling code as it was in Win32, but at the times when a certain control was supposed to get focused or get clicked, just kind of redirect that to the new WPF code. So for me, just kind of leaving all the keyboard handling alone and plugging into that was a nice approach. Also with resources, you kind of face the decision of, should I leave them in the Win32 code as unmanaged resources, or should I have them as resources in XAML? Again, I kind of favor the approach of leaving as much alone as possible. There were some resources that I moved into the XAML just because they wanted underlined letters, you know, with the ampersand like you do in Win32. WPF actually doesn't use that same scheme where the ampersand means underline the next letter. So for those specific buttons that needed that underlining, I actually moved those resources into XAML and had the appropriate XML just to get that underline effect that I needed. So that could be one thing to watch out.
And how did you create the vector graphics and the cards?
Okay, so actually for this I used Adobe Illustrator and then an exporter to create it as XAML, and then I just worked with it from there. I actually did the bulk of
using Mike Swanson's exporter.
I did, yes.
Yeah. We've had him on Channel 9.
Right, yeah, I actually saw that video, yeah. So other than the playing cards, really I did most of it by kind of manually mucking with a XAML, and obviously with tool support, that just gets a lot easier and makes it even faster to create some of these user interfaces.
Do you see any common mistakes that like developers here are already making when getting into the new world?
Common mistakes. Well, actually, there's one mistake that I made.
Other than creating really ugly UIs.
Using,
as you can now.
Yeah, using too much flashing and animating buttons. Actually, one mistake that I made was when I first created the playing card control, and I shared this on my blog a while ago. It made sense to me to embed the resources a certain way inside this control. So, What I've actually got as the playing card are 52 drawing brushes. A drawing brush is basically a vector-based brush. So there's one for each face. And originally I had embedded those in the most straightforward manner, I thought, into the XAML for the playing card. But what I quickly found was, as I had 52 of these cards on the screen, those resources were actually being duplicated, so my working set, my app's performance was really suffering because of all this unnecessary duplication of resources. So I had to change things around a little to make sure that those resources got shared between instances of the card control. So that's kind of a gotcha to look out for. Actually, another thing I think is along the lines of deciding what's too much in terms of 3D or animation is post beta 1, WPF has a nice API for determining the capabilities of the machine that you're running on in case you want to scale back the experience. So you can see they've got a simple tier system. Right now there are 3 tiers. And if you're on the lowest tier, you probably want to avoid 3D, avoid animations, because everything's going to be rendered in software instead of hardware accelerated, and the performance might suffer. On the other hand, on more advanced machines, then you can do all the fancy stuff. And there's actually a tool that I think is going to be shared around the PDC timeframe called Perforator that it's pretty cool. You can actually visually see performance issues in your code because it'll highlight pieces of the user interface that are rendered in software versus pieces that are rendered in hardware. So that points you directly to where you might be suffering problems. Because without that, it can be really difficult to know. You just see some UI, it's too slow, what's going on? So I would definitely recommend checking out that tool to investigate issues like that.
Very cool.
Anything else? This is cool stuff, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Very cool.
What
is that?
This? It's supposed to be a binary clock. It's actually kind of pseudo-binary because, these are the hours, these are the minutes, and these are the seconds. So let's see. It's this one here in the tens place means it's like 1:00 or 10:00. That's why it's kind of pseudo-binary. But
they combine 2 base systems into the clock.
Yeah. But I've got a clock right here, so this is pretty much decoration. But yeah, I think it's a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun digging into these WinFX and Windows Vista features. I'm just thinking, like, man, if they had this technology 10 years ago when they wrote this card game, we'd be so much better off. So I'm just really looking forward to not just people really reinvigorating existing applications, but seeing all kinds of new applications that are going to be built now that it's just so much easier to get a whole new level of experience in your software.
So, cool. Have you talked to the guy that originally wrote Internet Hearts and shown him what you've done to it?
So it's funny because from the source code, I saw a few of the names from the team that worked on it. I hadn't talked to anyone, but I was actually demoing this about, I don't know, a few weeks ago. And afterwards, someone came up to me and said, you know, I was one of the original guys. He's actually on the Indigo team now. And here I was kind of like bashing the UI, saying how, it's out of date, it's old-fashioned. But he was cool with it, and he really liked seeing, the kind of game live on and take advantage of these new technologies. So it was kind of a funny experience.
Cool. Thanks.
Thanks, this is a pleasure.
Thank you.